Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
Welcome to episode number 107 of the Chris Rose Rotation. It is a production of John Boy Media, and once again today presented to you by good friends over at SeatGeek. We would like to welcome, from the New York Mets, reliever Trevor May, who is just like everybody else now in the technological world. He's without his cool camera, his microphone. You're just doing this on a regular old phone. Are you going to be okay?
I had one thing. Now I don't have my thing. So, yeah, I'll be all right. I'll get through it. Well, but definitely next episode, I'm going to be right back with it. This won't happen again, so drink it in.
Does that mean that you forgot all your gamer stuff, too?
No, just the microphone. The mic got left. Yeah. Oh. Kind of a quick turnaround to pack and get here. So, happens. Forget stuff all the time.
Are you going to hold it the whole time? You going to be able to?
Yeah.
Oh.
Hold it. I'll just switch arms. Yes.
Okay.
I'll use this.
That's a lovely room you're in, by the way.
Yeah, thank you. I chose it myself.
Ah, okay. We are recording this on a Saturday morning, West Coast time. And I don't even know if you know, this just happened moments ago. Miguel Cabrera became the 33rd member of the 3000 Hit Club. First inning single.
I'm at least 10 of those. That's awesome.
You are not. Do you have any idea how many of those you are?
I think it's like 6 or 7. I think that he's like 300. I know that. It's like 320 or something.
There we go.
Had a little bit of success, but I'm right at like his career average. I'm right in the middle of the pack. I'll take it.
I love this. So it's a first inning single, of course. Basically right side, and Jose Iglesias, who now plays for the Rockies, goes and gets the ball. Former teammate of his in Detroit goes over and hugs him. I mean, I really think that like Miguel Cabrera is pretty much beloved throughout this sport, isn't he?
He is. He just loves the game so much. He's one of those guys. He's on everyone's list as one of their favorite players for sure. For sure. Definitely me too. Playing against him all those years. I'm really happy for him. It's awesome to even be part of that story at all.
So what is it like? Cause I believe if the numbers I've got are correct, 5 for 15, the only damage was one homer. That was it. Struck him out Slider. Three times. What is it like when you are facing a guy who is a walking Hall of Famer?
It's not fun. He's not the guy, especially how he hits. Everyone's different. I think that he's in a big spot. He is just the last person, even later in his career now, it's slowed down a bit. Even now, he's still not a guy that you're like, want anything to do with anybody that can score on base. And I unfortunately had to face him in those situations a couple times. And it got me. But it's just one of those guys where you it's easy to be in the moment and be like, wow, this is actually happening. And I think I have told this story. It just popped up on my app that he got the 3000th hit. I told the story on this show before, but like just he's a big part of like when I was a rookie, kind of giving me confidence, telling me I had a good changeup. So I'll never forget that. And so, ever since he told me that, I just had this inherent confidence to throw that pitch for some reason, even if it's not as good as my other ones that day. And I think it has something to do with him. So he has that kind of effect on people. And when he does something, you pay attention.
You know what I love about him? He has fun, man. He is always smiling. He interacts with the fans. I mean, listen, the guy wants to win, and maybe it helped out that he won so early in his career with the Marlins that there isn't that pressure of, my God, Miguel Cabrera, 3,000 hit club, 500 homer club, but he doesn't have a ring. Like, he got it so early that he got the team accomplishment out. So now he could just be exactly who he was without having to answer those questions. Is that fair?
Yep. Oh, yeah, absolutely. 100%. And we'll never know if that was even going to be a thing for him either way. but like he it doesn't even have to be a question. So just kind of watching him play, I don't know if that would have been something he would have cared about that much, but we don't know it's because he actually has one already or not. I don't know. But yeah, he's done. I mean, at this point, what else is there?
Nothing.
What other record or thing to be part of? You know, his name's in everything now. So he's a champion. He's got an MVP. He's got a batting title. He won the Triple Crown. So like,
right. He's got everything.
Yeah, he's got everything.
No, see in Cooperstown, pal.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that's pretty good. I think that's pretty far gone conclusion for sure.
All right. So you guys just started a trip out to Arizona, and then during the week you're going to be in St. Louis. You guys are playing some great baseball. And so it allows me to kind of go back to what happened last night. You guys were trying to protect the lead. I'm curious because when you gave up the homer to Walker, I went to Twitter and I wanted to see what Mets Twitter was going to say. And almost everybody said the same thing. How did he keep that pitch fair? Was it a great pitch that he just happened to somehow get his hands inside?
Yes. You know what? I actually, because in baseball, like we always bring up like the tip of your cap. I hate tipping your cap because that means I got just beat. I will tip my cap 100 times to that because it was really impressive. And I think there's a little bit of him because I watched how he reacted to it too. He's like, did I just hit like I hit that ball that hard? Like, he's usually trying, like most righties, every righty's just trying to foul it off so they can go get, because that's just not what anyone wants. And he pulled his hands in and he got it enough. We just happen to be in the right ballpark with the right conditions, because it's like that, that's maybe getting out in Tampa too, in that exact little spot. But like most parks, it's really hard to kind of sneak it in there. And I'm going to be honest, I looked and I didn't see the ball at all. I had no idea where it went. So my reaction was really weird because I was like, what happened right there? I don't even know. I just saw the umpire doing this and I was like, there's no way. And then I went and saw it on the board and that's when I got mad. Like, really? Impressive, man. And you know what? As a pitcher, you can be like, why is this happening to me? Like, what? Come on. Like, you know, just hit the wall or, you know, something. But like, really impressive piece of big league hitting that was. And Max Scherzer made a great point too. And I really like this about Max. He just, if you sniff something that could be even remotely interpreted as an excuse, he's just like, nope, should have done this. And you're like, you're right. Should have just. So he's like, what was the count? What type of hitter is he? What had he been throwing at him for? Maybe should have thrown a slider. That's not going to hit me with. And I was like, you know what, Max? You're right. Maybe I should have. Hindsight's 20/20, obviously. But he goes, plan-wise, it might have been a better decision because no one's miss hitting a slider out. But people are like able to get to heaters. If you're not even barreling a fastball, you still might be able to get it out. But if you're not barreling an off-speed pitch, it's almost never a homer. And I was like, man.
But can't we tell Max? Can't we tell Max it's 97 in on the fist? I mean, swing 100 times, 90, isn't he hitting it foul?
Probably. I think he would say that too, but it just didn't work out that way. Here's how I think about it. In my like situation there, you have a job. I like go out and I'm like, this is the job today. Whether we're up by 10, my job is to like work quick, get guys off the field because let's get the go. You're like, let's not go out there and just stomp around and like, you know, try to be as nasty as I can to, you know, like punch everybody out, but work really slowly. Like that's not my job in that situation. This situation, you know, up by 3, I'm going out for multiples. It's eat these innings and hold the lead. That's my job. Like, don't give up the lead. And that ideally the best version of the job would be a 0 and just, you know, keep it where it is and whatever. But the plan B to that is okay. But if something's going to go wrong, let's minimize that. And then after that, the worst case scenario is you just implode and then it's not, the game's not reachable anymore and you lose. Right. So I will take B over C every day. And I was making a joke earlier and I hate this so much and I can't believe I'm telling you, but so funny. It was Drew Smith went out. I was talking to Seth Lugo And Seth goes, hey, you think he's going to go back out? Or you think like it's one? Because we're trying to figure out, like, you know, who might pitch, because we're a little bit on a rotation thing going a little bit because we're still in April and they're handling the bullpen really, really well. So we're just, it's not quite, you know, cut and dry yet where the roles are. And so I'm like, one out, man, one out, go get a hold. That's the dream. Like, you just go get the one guy, you know, and leave that guy stranded and you're good. And I'm like, yeah, dude, that's the dream. So I go out, I throw to one guy and I'm like, am I living the dream? But then I also made a comment and then Lugo's like, all right, let's get one more. He goes, one more run. He goes, I like three runs. Three runs are the best. I'm like, yeah, three runs. I'm like, that's when I always find it, you know, I find that the best time to give up that solo homer or something, because so we still have the lead, but I had room. So it's fine. Literally go out, think I doing the one out thing, not doing it. And then I give up the homer. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just never going to comment on anything ever again. That's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to shut up, take the ball and not think about any of that if possible. So it was just, that's just how it goes. That's baseball.
You little crazy bullpen dudes, you funny.
I got to fill the time somehow, dude.
So my son pointed this out to me, and unfortunately it happened again last night, although Edwin Diaz is always, he's been very good. When he gives up, he points because I think he thinks it's a fly out.
He just does it every time. He just points every time. It's just, it's one of his habits. Maybe it's like him just being like, please, you know, like one of those situations. It's just this thing. Unfortunately, it's just not great when it doesn't work out.
Right. Well, sometimes it's still a fly ball. It just happened to be a fly ball that went over like a 10-foot high wall. That's all.
And I'm going to be honest, in his defense, most of the time he does that, he's right. It's caught. So he does do it every single time the ball's in the air. So it's not like he only picks the ones that are hit the hardest or something. So, you know, I just think it's a good, he's just communicating. It's all, he's just got a good habit. That's all it is.
Today's episode of the Chris Rose Rotation is presented to you by SeatGeek. That's right. All the games back in action, Major League Baseball, NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs are coming your way. Want to go check out a concert? There's one great way to do it. Go download the SeatGeek app on your phone. Like, you can go through here. If I wanted to go to tonight's Orioles Angels game, ticket for one, because nobody, of course, wants to go with me. There's all sorts of seats that are available. And you see this? Green, that means that's a good deal. Red, not so good. So they're doing their homework for you, right? They go on a scale of 0 to 10. So green is good, red is bad. It's that simple. I'm going to go pick a green seat for myself if I want to go to the game tonight, hang out, go watch the Halos and the O's. It'll be great. And SeatGeek will do all the homework for you. So what I want you to do is go download the app, use the code word Rose. You'll get 20% off your tickets at SeatGeek. Once again, the code word is Rose. Go out, go enjoy baseball, go enjoy the NBA, go enjoy the NHL, go listen to your favorite artists in the world of music. It's that simple. Download the SeatGeek app today. Why do things feel different this year with the Mets?
I think that we have a really good process, and I think people are picking up on that. Like, for example, our lineup, I mentioned this our last time we met before in spring, about Canna. He's really, like, started the year exactly the way that doing the things that he wants to do, and that's getting on base and just being a nightmare to pitch to. Whether or not he gets a hit or not, he's just like grinds at bats. And then Marquez grinding at bats, Nimmo always grinds at bats, and these guys are like, they're placed throughout this lineup to where there's no let up when you're like getting through this lineup as a starter a couple times. Ask Galen, right? It's just very hard to do unscathed without someone giving you a 12 pitch at bat, or somebody like dunking in a little double down the line to give you a little pressure or something. Like, it's very, like, it's going to be very hard for someone to dominate us for a long period of time, because we'll get them eventually. And that's the type of guys we have in our lineup. And I think that the new guys we added supplemented the guys like Pete and the guys like Francisco, who I love how much fun he's having. And like, I can see it. He's like, it's not, I don't have to do everything. And he had that on him a little bit last year. And that was being new here and signing the new contract, all this stuff. It's a lot of pressure came with a lot of things, but it's awesome seeing him walking the clubhouse every day. Not that he was always smiling, but like, he just, I love that he looks loose and he can play. So a lot of that happening, a lot of guys kind of like, it's being spread among the whole lineup, and that's going to make you win a lot of games. And I think that starting pitching obviously has been incredible as well. And it's allowed, I think it's going to allow us to kind of, because we're going to have to take the reins. We're going to have days where the bullpen needs to take over and, like, you know, keep us in a game for a whole time. We're going to have to come back, things like that. And I think we're going to rise to that occasion too. But so those three things just translate into, it's a winning recipe. You're putting yourself in a position to win a lot of games. And I think that's where we are. And we're confident that we can do that. It's just day to day to day. And Buck's the driving that ship. That's his mindset. And that's what you get from him. So grind it out. Just go out and win a game, no matter how you do it.
All right, so your buddy Plouf and I have a debate. And obviously he knows because he played the game. I'm just an observer. He doesn't, and I don't want to misquote him, but he does normally say that it's the players that win the games. That managers, particularly in today's world where they get a lot of lineups from up top and scenarios and all that sort of stuff, that they don't have that much of a factor in things. It's really just managing people. Is Buck making a significant difference? Because to me, it looks like he is.
Yeah, and the managing people, he's right. Because in-game decisions, there's really not that many that are hard, like coin flip type decisions. Mm-hmm. Most decisions are pretty like, yeah, obviously, right? Most of the time. And I think they would say that too. That's not that's not the chess match happening. This is all happening organizationally where you're like, these guys are good against these people, and like, yeah, you're going to use your bullpen and stuff. That's kind of predetermined before the game for the most part, with small adjustments. What Buck's really good at is managing people. And I think that it comes down to, if all of the guys going out there and executing the plan trust it and trust the information they're being given and trust the people that are giving it to them, then the confidence level goes way higher. And I think that there's a level of guys are feeling good about where they're at and what they're getting, and that what their process is the right one. And when you do that, and it's just rinse and repeat, and you do that early in the season, then you're going to put yourself in position to be successful. And then that the crew that's giving you that information feeds off that, and it just kind of builds like that. So, I mean, I've talked to a lot of guys who played for example, the Dodgers over the last 5 to 10 years. Right. And that's just something that they've really, really locked in. Their process and their staff is very good at communicating how they're going to go about their process for winning games, and guys buy in and they find their slot and they go and do their job. And it's 162 games. So you can't just be like, hey, you're our guy. We need you to hit 130 RBIs or we're not going to win. Like, that's basketball. Basketball works like that. We need you to score 35 or we're not going to win. Right. Baseball's not like that. You can't do that. So I think that's the best. I think that there's more and more organizations really trying to find a way to do that. It feels good to be a part of a group that I personally know that everyone I'm working with, all the information I'm getting, is making me a better player. And that all of that work's going to pay out over 162 games in a really, really impactful way. So, and that's everywhere.
You guys had a really fun series with the Giants, who are a good ball club. You played a doubleheader one day. Game one, Alonso makes this incredible play at the bag, saving Lindor, and it had to go to replay. They originally called him safe, and there's a challenge and all sorts of stuff. So in addition to it being a phenomenal play by Alonso, afterward, he is so fired up. I thought it was like Sunday at MetLife and the Giants were playing or something. Like, he's got really like a football mentality. Is he different than anybody that you've been a teammate with?
Yeah, he's unique. Yeah, it's funny you say football mentality, because every once in a while he's tackling the ball out there too, you know what I mean? He's just, that's the way he moves. It's sliding in home, just trying to tackle a guy. A ghost person. But yeah, he loves baseball, man. He just loves it. He's like a kid playing. It's funny on that play too. One of the funnier parts, I don't think you could see it on TV, is he's just fist pumping and yelling that they went to toss him they tossed the first base of the ball to put in their glove. And he didn't even acknowledge the ball. The ball flies over his shoulder And he just doesn't acknowledge it at all and just goes into the field. And no one got it. We're like, what? You got to catch the ball, Pete. No, like, all right, I guess we're not going to catch it. Then, so we just saw him get one fired at him. He's not looking. He goes over his shoulder. No one acknowledges it. We just all move on.
But that's because he's smarter than the average polar bear, because he knew that Frankie was going to walk it off in the bottom of the frame and would not even need the ball until next game.
He knew. That's got to be it. That's the only explanation.
Yeah. Not sure if you saw first series of the year in Washington. Obviously, you gave up the home run to Soto. But did you see the reaction, how much joy your pitch gave to that father-son combination?
Yes. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Pretty cool. And I didn't watch it. Trust me, I didn't go back and watch it. I'm pretty sure. I think it was played about, I don't know, 3,000 times right after, just in a row, just for the rest of the inning, just over and over and over and over and over again. But yeah, I was brought to my attention, and I mean, that's what the game is about anyway. So like, even if it's against me, unfortunately, sometimes the other guy good stuff happens to the other guys.
Mm-hmm.
And but it's good for baseball. Like, sometimes you got to like remove yourself from the situation. Like, that happened to me, but I mean, that's why we do it. I mean, you can't just be in your own thing all the time.
Did you ever catch a home run ball or a foul ball or anything at a game?
Here's a fun story. I never did, but when I was 11, way back in 2001, we went to a game at Shea Stadium, and my dad caught a foul ball while I was in the bathroom. He got a foul ball and a t-shirt from the t-shirt cannon. So we got both. Yeah, we got both. It came right to where we were. So that's as actually close as I've ever gotten to getting a foul ball. And it happened to be in Shea Stadium, like 8 years before it was torn down.
Any idea who hit it?
I have no clue who was on the team at 01. Except for Efrén Piazza.
Well, that was the year after they made the World Series. So they were.
It was the year after the Subway Series. Yeah. They were good. They were pretty. I think they were pretty good. No one. Yeah, it was like in.
Were you upset that you were you pissed off that you were in the pisser?
Yes, I was. Yeah, that's all I want to do is catch a foul ball. I mean, I was 11. I guess prime. Go chase all the balls. Age. Yeah, but I had the ball. So like, at the end of the day, like, I didn't get it, but no harm, no foul. It's mine now. So,
does the family still have the ball?
It's in a box at home for sure. I have a bunch of them. I wonder if I held it, I'd be like, wow, these are different. that's a good idea. I should check it out. What a two-time ball from 2001 was like.
By the way, is the ball deadened?
I have no idea, man. At this point, I'm like, I don't know. I just know they're very slick at times. Arizona doesn't help. I don't know what we're gonna do. They don't feel great so far, but it's also been cold, and I've just seen so many sliders over people's heads lately that I'm just like, yeah, you're due for one unless you get one of those balls that has any sort of grip at all. But it's been interesting. I don't know if they're dead though. It doesn't feel like it, especially after the homer last night. That feels like not dead. If that's with the deadened ball, then double tip of the cap.
Well, have you ever held one of the balls from Japan? Don't they have some tack to them?
They do. They're nice. They're also smaller a little bit.
Right.
So,
but
that's why we can't use those.
No, I get that. But we can't find a happy medium here.
We can. You just got to do it. Got to put in some effort.
All right. Hold on. You're biting your tongue about something. Is it because you don't? Is it because you don't want to say something, or is it because you don't believe? What is it here? Do you think the league isn't interested in it?
No, I just think that it's not a big enough PR disaster yet. And that'll actually light the fire. That's kind of the cause and effect in this game. And I'm going to be honest, it's not a huge rush to make pitchers better. So it's just not a high priority because they want more runs scored, not less. It's just, this tiny little incremental changes to see, oh, we want pitchers to have a grip, but we don't want them to perform better because we believe that that will reduce the number of people watching the game and let make less money. Like that's a real thing. Like you can't really refute that. Like that's just every rule change is in the favor for bidders. It just is, which okay, that's fine. But that's just going to translate into the balls. Like complaining about the balls or pointing out something about like, I would really like a standardization a little bit more if possible. And that seems easy, but there's no memos going out about that, but there's a memo about sticky stuff every 3 days. So like, I'm just saying, please, can we just like look me in the eyes and say, this is what we're going to do about it instead of just saying like, oh, yeah, this is what it kind of feels like, but I could be completely wrong too. Maybe there's people frantically trying to figure it out behind the scenes. I don't know. How am I supposed to know? I'm just a guy.
All right, guy. Have you used PitchCom?
Yeah, I love it.
Oh,
I love
yeah.
it. I really do. I love it. Don't have to remember this. It speeds up. I can tend to work slowly anyways, and I'm trying to speed myself up, and it's really easy with PitchCom. So I love it.
So
I really do.
Giolito explained it to us a few episodes back, and he said it's kind of like a male Siri voice.
Yeah.
So you just...
He's like, for same fastball. That's how he talks. That's it right there.
But so if you don't... So if you don't like the pitch, it's just a normal shake off.
Yeah. And you just push the different button.
You are so,
I really do like it because I don't know how much of having my signs set or whatever has affected my pitching in the past. And so it's nice to just kind of remove that, like honestly, just kind of tedious being mysterious because the vast majority of guys in second are just like, aren't going to try to get it because it's like, no one has like any level of confidence in that. So they're not going to relay anything unless it's a very, very, very like pointed part of the game that that team practices. And there's a few of those that like, they make it a very, like they practice a lot, figure getting guys tips and all this kind of stuff. There's a few organizations that do it like on purpose. But for the most part, it's not really that big of an issue. But you just remove it completely. Like they can't hear it. There's no sign. What are you going to pick up on? So then it just shuts it down, which is awesome. So I love it. I mean, it makes it a little bit more straightforward and I don't know, level in my opinion.
So Giolito wants to try and get Samuel L. Jackson to do the voice for him. And he might have a connection there because his dad used to play golf with Sam. Is there anybody you would like to have in your head?
Gilbert Gottfried, let's give him the honors. Rest in peace, but that would be great. That'd be great. Or you can do Morgan Freeman or one of the smooth voices, but I think that I would enjoy that too much. I need something that's just like that I'm not going to miss, and Gilbert yelling it would be something. Maybe, but that'd be an issue. Maybe they'll hear it.
No wait a how second. Loud it is. Are Gilbert Gottfried? No, listen, very, very funny. I mean, I loved him in Beverly Hills Cop 2, I think it was. He was unreal.
Is there something in this hand over here that could make that disappear?
Right? So,
yeah.
Not so seen fastball.
Well, yeah, that's what I want.
Slider. Change up. Get it down.
He says something at the end, like a little thing, like where to throw it. That's what I want to.
No Kate May, huh?
No. No. She's got a lot of talents, but let's, I hear she tells me to do stuff enough. I think we're good on that.
I asked Giolito the same thing about his wife, and they're like, he's like, no. He wouldn't even play along with me. At least you did. He was like, no.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Not at work.
What's the deal? Like, she couldn't seal it. Like, four seamer. Love you.
Yeah, weird. No, that would be distracting. Gilbert, all the way.
Okay. Fair enough. Quick reminder that every Monday through Friday, tune into Baseball Today. Of course, you can see it on YouTube. You can download it as a podcast, but I want you to join it live at 11:30 a.m. Eastern every day via the AMP app. It's the black and gold one. You download it. Not only do you get to listen to Trevor Plouffe and yours truly, you get to interact with us as well. We take calls. We want your opinions. We want your comments, your concerns, everything. It is just a click away. Go download the AMP app today. We'll see you Monday through Friday, 11:30 a.m. Eastern. I was very worried about you when you hurt your arm and screamed into your mitt. Were you worried that it was something monumental?
No. That was frustration. I get frustrated and I go into a mode and I want to compete. And that was a combination of, like, for example, it was just like my arm would need to reset between pitches to that point. Like, it was just kind of, it was achy. So the whole arm was achy. My tricep was the main spot, but it was like radiating all the way up and down. And it's something that I knew about before then. And it was like, if I can get through this week or week and a half by just throwing enough, but not like overtaxing, which a lot of people are feeling. I saw the Blake Treinen went on the DL yesterday and the way he was used. Now he didn't say anything about this, but it looked very similar. Like, he was like, all right, if I just get through these two or three, I can get past the kind of the early in the season dead arm situation. And he just couldn't, you know, he had to do a little bit of a rehab stint, but everything looked similar to me. So there was that. And there's like on a certain pitches, for example, like the slider, the way that I throw my slider, that was a point of this, that it would light up a little bit more. So I'm like, I feel like I have no off speed pitch that I need to throw to this guy. And my fastball is not what it usually is because I'm stomping around the mound to let my arm reset and calm down so I can throw another pitch. I was able to pitch, but it wasn't, I didn't feel like I could compete maximize. I felt like I was like 75%. So that was frustrating. Then I walked him and I was like, come on. So it was less about pain and more about like, I want to compete. I want to feel like I'm giving you everything I got. We're on an even playing field. I feel handicapped a little bit here. And the last pitch lit me up pretty good. So I was like, that one didn't feel good. I said that out loud, I remember. And then Escobar thought I blew out. But in reality, I was just like, no, guys, I want to go do this job. And like, I just can't do it to the best of my ability. And it's not fun pitching when you don't feel like you're you. And you're just like, you don't want to just try to get through everything all the time. You want to actually be like competing and having fun. So right. It was like a combination of all of that in an early season game in which I really wanted to win. And be the best version of myself. And I didn't want to go in the DL either. Like, I was like, I'm not going. I take pride in staying healthy. So it was just thought after thought after thought after thought after thought right away, which produced my reaction.
Got it. I know that you've been teammates before with Eduardo Escobar, but I love watching that guy. He just seems like, and I've interviewed him a handful of times, but I don't know him well at all. He just seems like such a wonderful human being.
He really is. I was really happy to have him on the team, and he's had to be, I think, one of the guys with the guy a little bit for Arizona last year, one of the major run producers, and I think that he's found like a nice comfort level to where he can really be himself. Again, he's another one of those guys who's bought in. It was like, everything's not on me. I just got to go do, you know, my job, what I do best. And if I do that, we will win. And because other guys are going to do what they do best. And so we've really put together a really good group of guys. And then we did our Fogo dinner, that first series in Fogo. And he's the king in Fogo. He loves, every time you go to a team dinner and a Fogo de Chao, he's like, I'm in my spot. I'm in my place. I'm the guy. It's like it's his birthday every time. So that was awesome too. I'm so glad everyone got to see the Esky at Fogo experience.
Did he pick up the bill?
Oh, he's got a deal. He's got a deal with Fogo. Now, I don't know if it was all free or not, but there's definitely a discount in there. Like, they treat him like a king, man. But that's been a long time brewing. He's done a lot of good stuff with them. It was just starting when he was in Minnesota, just starting to like, the powers that be that own Fogo started to find out about him then. And then it really turned into a thing when he was in Arizona. Every city they went to, they were like, he would try to go to one dinner at the local Fogo, and now I think he's got like one of those lifetime membership cards like they give out at Chipotle to certain people. I think he's got one of those. I don't know what it means. I just think it's awesome.
So where how many people went to this thing?
Oh, the entire organization. There was like 55 of us. The entire traveling party was there. Huge back room. And the moment we got there, they were just like shaving meat immediately. Like they were just ready. Which for team dinners, if you go to like a Capital Grill or something, they're like 4 hours long. It just takes so long for them to cook 50 steaks. But there, they just like almost you got to slow them down. You're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I've already had so much Parmesan pork. Let it settle.
Who's the guy that puts it away the most? Like really surprised.
Nimmo was crushing
really
meat that night. Yes. He's from Wyoming. Like it's all he eats. He grew up just eating meat by the pound. But yeah, not surprising at all. The guy's like a professional eater. Hannah did a pretty good job too. Those guys got fast metabolisms. But me and JD Davis were like, we tapped out quick. Maybe it's because I had like 18 of those little mini cheddar biscuits before the meat even got out because I couldn't stop. So I love those things.
Who did you have a few beverages too? Do you partake at a maybe one?
We had some nice bottles of wine. Yeah, I'll have a glass. Taiwan Walker's a big Camus fan, so we would have a couple bottles of those. I had maybe a glass of that. That was good. Red wine with some whole bunch of beef. Pretty good.
We talked about PitchCom earlier. I don't know how much reading you've done on this, but in the minor leagues, they're using the pitch clock. And yeah. Games in which they use it are reportedly down an average of 20 minutes. The runs are not. So it means they're increasing pace without decreasing the interest in terms of scoring and things of that nature, right? It could be coming your way next year. What do you think?
Bring it on. I played with the pitch clock at 18 for a bit. And it's one of those things like it's not going to be an issue for you unless it's egregious. Like unless you're like 10 seconds after the clock runs out every pitch, then you're going to get, come on. But like if there's a couple where it's like close, like you're a second or whatever, then it's like just no one cares. Right. So as long as you're making an effort to kind of speed it up, then it's not an issue. That's all it is. So there's very few guys it's really going to affect. Like Max is going to try to like see how much time he can leave on that clock every time he throws. Like that's going to be a goal of his. He's just going to be like, oh, look, another thing to like try to beat. Right. So that's what it's going to be. And I think it's going to be more beneficial than I used to be against it, but because honestly, there's just so much stuff changing that you're like, oh, another thing. Right. But with the PitchCom, now that I see if I have PitchCom, it's not gonna be an issue at all. It's just going to come down to like, if I want to come up with my plan here, I need a little bit of time to think through the plan. But now I've kind of simplified that up a little bit too, to where I can get up and get on. I just need to get the ball back, walk back, get right on the rubber. Let's go. I prefer to pitch that way anyway. So I think it's going to be good for the game in general. Because I think PitchCom actually, they said that even though everyone's not using it, a few people using it, even the big league games are down a couple minutes already just from PitchCom. So like, hey, I'm always down. I'm down to two hour, 30 minute games. Every is like the best. You walk in, you're like, it's 9:45. Wow.
I could be streaming by 10:38.
We can watch one more episode tonight. Things like that.
What are we watching right now?
I just watched Outer Reach, the first four episodes, right up my alley.
Yeah. I'm shocked you didn't get to it before then.
Weird, weird show. And it's so funny that they just don't address some things. You're like, this is too weird. Why is no one saying anything? But it's really well made. So I'm excited. I'm excited for that. It's two episodes a week too. Smart. But I think I'm going to go give Yellowstone a real, real push now because I've watched this. It's got the same bad – the guy from Yellowstone's the same character in Outer Reach, the bad guy, the other rancher.
Yeah, I haven't done either. My kids have done Out of Reach. They're fans. I got to get into Yellowstone. Once the NFL draft passes, then I'll be good to go.
Gotcha.
Squarely focused on that stuff. All right, what else? We got anything else going on in your world that we should know about?
Anything else going on in my world? No, just taking it day by day, being a baseball player, trying to adjust my body to the West Coast so that I can go right back to the East Coast in 2 days.
Well, you get to the Midwest. We'll break it up with a trip to the Central time zone in St. Louis. That'll be a good series, actually.
It'll be a good series, and it's not just the face of the sun yet. Yeah. So that's the best time to go there. And it's just because it's muggy. The muggy part is the worst part in the summer, not the heat, actually. So it should be nice, cool, nice and like mid-60s and a little bit less humid air.
You know what I don't understand? I think it's just a mentality issue. So when it's freezing cold in mid-April in cities like Chicago or Cleveland or New York or whatever, it might be 40 degrees and people are bundled up like it's 50 below. But if you had the same temperature the first week of December during a Bears, Browns, Jets, Giants game, people would be there with their shirts off. It must just be like after tax day, we're all done with the cold on the East Coast and the Midwest, right?
Kind of, yeah. Yeah, that you're right. It's whatever you're transitioning, whatever you've been doing, you want to do. Like, you got to figure out when you're going to transition. And I feel like the football season, that you feel like you're going to fight it, or you're like, no, you're holding on to the warmth longer. But when the cold's there, you're not quite to the warmth yet. So like, you fight the cold, but you're willing to assume it's warm. I don't know. It's one of those things. Like, you like the warmth, you hate the cold, so you just overcompensate both ways.
I think we're on to something. All right, let's spin the wheel of moderately interesting things so we can get you back to whatever you do in Arizona before you head to the ballpark.
My grass is what I do.
Visitors section. Best visiting clubhouse and why?
Best visiting clubhouse and why?
That you've played in.
You know what? I'm going to do a couple categories here. Huge shout out. You're going to like the first one. We were talking about this last night, so I got to give him a shout out. Huge shout out to Willie over at Cleveland for buying the towel warmers for post shower, especially in the early season, late season. It's freezing. Just had a rain delay. You finally got through the game. It took 4.5 hours to get a nice hot towel after. And Willie is awesome. One of the best in the biz over there. And he's really proud of that. Those towel warmers.
I think I've never seen a towel warmer. Is it something that you open up? Is it like an enormous?
It looks like a giant fridge. It looks like a giant fridge, and they're just sitting in there folded, and it keeps them warm the whole time. It's the most unnecessary. I'm sure it's just wildly expensive too, just to keep it warm. And it's four towels. It's four like linens. Like they spas have them. And he got one. So shout out. And Willie's great in all the other ways too. Like good food and loves to hang out and talks to us. And we like him. But I would say one other one that I really, really enjoy going. Phenomenal chefs and food. Really nice facilities. Great selection of snacks is at Atlanta. And it's just really nice and new too. That's so like the clubhouse is nice and big. Lots of really nice facilities. Not a crazy hard walk. You know, there's not a lot of steps. That's good. Like for example, DC, you walk up 40 steps to get from the field to the clubhouse. I'm like, this is the biggest staircase they could possibly have made. Those are the little things we notice. So I'll give Atlanta a shout out to in our division as a place that's always a pleasure to go. And they always have food. Food's a big deal. So it's good.
Shocked you didn't say Boston. It's so spacious.
Boston's really a fun place to go, and they have a soft serve machine.
Really?
Yeah, it's the best.
Are you the guy that just puts the mouth under there?
No, but I grabbed the 32-ounce cup post game.
No,
and they have the chocolate shell that just hardens on top.
Really?
It's the best. And they're like, They're always like, hey guys, welcome in. You've seen the ice cream machine. Like, yes, we know about it. Trust me.
Where is that? I've never seen that. I mean, the visiting locker room, for people that don't know, it is so tight in there. It's ridiculous.
Smaller than the room I'm in right now, basically.
It is very small. Where is that thing?
It's in the back. They've changed the food room pretty much every year I've been in the big leagues where it is, because they're just like making stuff up at this point. But it's like way back in the food room through across the hall. And then it's like just around the corner. It's kind of like tucked like right next to the drinks. So, you know, it's there, but it's not like in your face. So, and that's, everyone's got dietitians now. And that's like the way they're like, oh, it's just, you know, it's an option, but it's not the main focal point. We're not encouraging it, but we want guys to, and most dietitians are like, all right, I'll allow it.
Unbelievable. All right, man. Well, as always, great catching up with you. Continued success to you and the Metropolitans. Off to a phenomenal start here through April. And we will catch up with you sometime in the month of May, because we can't the month of May without a visit with Trevor May.
Ooh. Oh, the month I got a bobblehead.
What?
Yeah, I got one. Yeah, I got one.
Is it themed out? Saying.
It's themed. I'm not going to give all the details. I actually don't know if it's, I actually haven't seen if it's actually been announced yet. So I don't really want to give it away, but I do have one, first one of my career, which is awesome. It's silly. Well, our next episode, we'll make the jokes about it, because there's some jokes I have to make about it being themed out. It's pretty funny, but we'll wait for that. But I just, you know, I'll give you a teaser.
Can you pull one aside for the Rose rotation, please?
100%. I will. I'm sure what I've heard, because I've never had anything in my whole career. But from what I've heard, you get a handful of them. They give you some in your locker. Yeah. So hopefully they'll hook me up with a good number so I can give them out to the people that matter, like the Rose rotation.
Love it. I love it. I'm super excited. I cannot wait for your next appearance, because, well, they're always so fun. And bobblehead. We get to have bobblehead share time. So special shout out to the one and only Robbie Scirocco for putting this bad boy together. For Trevor May, I'm Chris Rose. We will see you next time on the Chris Rose Rotation, a production of John Boy Media.
Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.